שלום, אנחנו קוראים מתוך כתבי רבש.
Hello, we are reading an article by Rabash. The article is named "A Real Prayer is Over a Real Deficiency." You can ask questions at Kabla TV. Selected questions will be aired throughout the lesson. In Hebrew, it's in Rabash, Volume 1, page 243. A real prayer is over a real deficiency.
You in a preparation for a special holiday, the holiday of Pesach, Passover, which is the beginning of the spiritual work of a man, the most important holiday. And specifically, in it, we have to establish our right perspective on the entire development, because it is the beginning of the development. Pesach skipped. When we come out of looking at reality the way it seems, through our five senses, seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and touching, and we shift to seeing it through the spiritual parts of, through the soul, through the quality of bestowal, the quality of love that is expressed in the connection between us. When we connect between us through that point of connection, as much as we can annul ourselves, each one annulling himself and connecting with everyone as one man in one heart, through that one heart to feel the true reality, which is above our nature. Therefore, the transition from feeling life within our present nature to feeling life, the world, reality, through the other nature, bestowal and love, instead of hatred and separation as we have now, this transition is called Pesach. That's what it's called. We learn from the perception of reality that all that a person has to do is to change his perception. There is no difference between this world and the next world. Rather, it's only about how we perceive, accept reality in our senses, in our new qualities. And that's it. That's the entire difference. Therefore, there is no next world which is somewhere out there in some distance beyond planet Earth or in some other galaxy. And also, we shouldn't search for it beyond the physical death, some next world, paradise, or the opposite of it. It is all whatever a person feels inside of himself when he changes his perception of reality, out of shifting from his will to receive to the will to bestow. Only in that is the entire change and all changes in general. Hence, we have to focus our effort, our study, exactly on that point. That is, how to reach the quality of bestowal, which is expressed, again, as we said already, in us bonding as one man in one heart in the center of the ten. And one who is capable of doing that, he will discover that his friends are already in it. And if you will ask them, are you in it? They will say that, no, not yet. But when he comes to it, in himself, he sees that they are in it. Just like with Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, as we learned, that he would unite with us small students, and he was the greatest of the generation, and it didn't bother him. It didn't stop him from connecting with them and finding them in their true degree, because there are no changes in spirituality. It all takes place with respect to a person. So Rabbi Yossi, when he wished to see them on his degree, he did see them and he did feel them on his degree. For them, it was a future degree that has not been revealed yet, but there is no earlier or later in the Torah, there's no time spirituality. He attained them already and the connection with them, hence he reached what he reached by his annulment towards them. And it's the same with us. Until we or while we're engaging in the corporeal effort, when we're not yet in spirituality, of course, it's also very important for us how much these people are influencing us, those that we're with them together, the group. However, we have to realize that indeed it's up to a person, the effort. And gradually a person learns what is his individual state and when and on what depends the general state, the general support, the mutuality, the arvut. But nevertheless, what I now especially want to emphasize is the point that everything is expressed within a person, everything is revealed within a person, and one who changes his quality right now from reception to bestowal immediately discovers the next world, the upper world, the Garden of Eden with all of the degrees in it, the qualities of Bina, the qualities of bestow are called Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, or Paradise, or Heaven. And the conditions, the qualities, the rules, the stages that we go through in order to reach from the present state where we feel ourselves only as existing in our animalistic body, with the five senses and only with the corporeal fulfillment that we go through every day and night. From that state, we have to shift to a state of connection between us so that we will start to discover the upper world. And this entire transition is called the exile of Egypt and the exodus from Egypt. We have to also learn about the exile, but mostly Pesach, Passover, is Pesach, the skipping, the ascent from redemption to exile. From exile to redemption, sorry. That's the whole matter of the holiday. Later on, all the degrees in which a person ascends in that world that opens up to him, in that quality, the quality of bestowal, the quality of love of others, love thy friend as thyself is the great rule of the Torah. When one attains it already, then already all of these degrees are in the next world, in a new quality, the quality of bestowal. Hence, they are all, as we say, in memory of the exodus from Egypt. So, let's see how do we come to it. Please.
Page 243 in Hebrew. A real prayer is over a real deficiency. The writing says, "These are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt. And a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And the Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor rigorously. And it came to pass that the sons of Israel sighed because of the work, and they cried out, and their cry because of the work went up to God, and God heard their groaning." We should understand why it is written, "and their cry because of the work went up to God." Did they not have greater torments in Egypt? Here, it seems that their cry, meaning their torments, were only from the work. It is also written, "and God heard their groaning," meaning that hearing the prayer was over the groaning, which is only about the work. We shall interpret this according to our way. It is known that before a person begins to work in order to bestow, but for reasons that are written in the Holy Zohar, that there are two reasons for engaging in Torah and mitzvot. One, to have the pleasures of this world. If he does not observe the Torah and mitzvot, he is afraid that the Creator will punish him. Two, to have the pleasures of the next world. His fear that he may not be given causes him to observe Torah and mitzvot. When the reason that compels him to observe the Torah and mitzvot is his own benefit, the body does not resist so much, because to the extent that he believes in reward and punishment, he can work and feel that each day he is adding more. And this is the truth, that each day of performing mitzvot and engaging in the Torah joins the day before. And so he adds to his possessions of keeping Torah and mitzvot. The reason is that his intention is primarily the reward, and he is not thinking about the intention, meaning that his aim will be to bestow. Rather, he believes in reward and punishment, and that he will be rewarded for what he is doing. Therefore, his aim is only to do proper actions in every detail. Otherwise, if the actions are improper, it is certain that his work will not be accepted so as to reward him for them.
So what happens is that Rabash here divides, and it's also from the words of the Zohar, he classifies all people or states that a single person goes through to three degrees. First degree is when he's concerned only about this world, his own body. His body, family, surroundings, all that we have in this world, in the corporeal life, just like all people that are surely concerned about it, out of the general will to receive, out of which they are comprised, built. Among them, there are people who have an additional desire. They want to succeed in this world and in the next world. And in return for it, they are willing to pay. Their payment, their reward, is by keeping certain mitzvot, certain actions that they are willing to carry out, so that they wouldn't do these actions by themselves. And naturally, also physically, in this world, they wouldn't discover them. Rather, they received these actions. They were told that if you do it, then you will also reach success in this world and success in the next world. That's the second kind of people. And the third kind of people, or you might say the first kind, doesn't matter how you call these different kinds, are people who already get some inner drive to ascend above the payment in this world and the reward in the next world. Rather, they want to attain the source of the whole of reality called the Creator, godliness. Three such kinds exist in humanity. And you might say that every person in the end goes through these three states throughout all of his incarnations in our history. We go through them. When precisely and when can we ascribe ourselves to the first kind, the second kind, the third kind? That's my question, please. Under which conditions can we relate ourselves to the first kind, to the second kind, and to the third kind? Let's go. It's a question for all the tables. Thank you. Help one another to understand the question itself.
These three states exist within man in his work in the group. These states interchange in him. Every time in his degree of connection he reaches the first, second, or third degree, simply depends on how much he's integrated in the group.
Yes. These states are truly states of a single person within himself, and the group is what can help him to maybe diagnose these states.
The first thing that he should do is to nullify himself, and along with the group to scrutinize these three states. Scrutinizing what each state is will enable him and the group to identify the differences, the discernments between them, and to reach the third or the first state Rav talked about.
Maybe all of the first states, the first and second, are in order to reach the third, which is not for myself. There in the third, I discover the intention to bestow contentment to the Creator, and all that I did up till now was only for my own benefit.
The inclination in every state depends on my environment. If my environment supports one of the qualities or one of the traits, then naturally I'll flow with them. One should look for people that will associate myself with the kind that aspires to reveal the Creator.
If everything depends on a man, and the environment is what changes him, and society is what changes him, then the more he invests internally in the heart of this society, then he has even the possibility to see these three states in a more and more clear manner, and to also understand how much he needs to reach the highest stage, which is only to bring contentment, to come closer to the upper one.
Yeah, assuming that he initially chose a society whose final goal is it to be in order to bestow, he'll go through these three states all the time. Only the tuning of this whole society and the scrutinies they're going through will make them go through these three states all the time, only faster and faster.
Under which conditions can we associate ourselves, relate ourselves to the first, second, and third kind? First of all, it has to be under the influence of the environment. The more we're engaging in this world, we're more concerned about getting what we want, or maybe less concerned. Accordingly, we pray also to be given pleasures of this world. The more we enter and believe in the Creator of the world, we can believe that there is something beyond this world. Hence, we pray to Him, and we ask to at least live there better. And the more we incorporate in the right environment, in the group, and truly search for our purpose in life, we reach the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah, and then we're engaged in how to reach bestowal while we're still in this world. How can we reach bestowal?
Yes, the connection to there's no one besides him is critical here. We'll continue the reading. For this reason, his concern is only the reason is that his intention is primarily the reward, and he's not thinking about the intention, meaning that his aim will be to bestow. Rather, he believes in reward and punishment, and that he will be rewarded for what he is doing. Therefore, his aim is only to perform proper actions in every detail. Otherwise, if his actions are improper, it is certain that his work will not be accepted so as to reward him for them.
So he's concerning us about the reward in the vessels of reward. And we are also that way, just like the first two kinds of people that have actions without demanding a reward for the action. But a person who is wise, who understands, who feels, who calculates, he calculates either consciously or subconsciously, he's always awaiting for a reward. And the question is only, what is the reward? So for them, it's a physical reward, corporal reward.
When he sees that the work he's doing is fine, he has nothing more to worry about. For this reason, his concern is only with the quantity, meaning that he should try to do more good deeds. If he is a wise disciple, then he knows he should delve deeper into his learning and be more meticulous in the mitzvot he is performing, to keep them according to the law, according to everyone's view. He always tries to be rigorous with judgments that are usually treated more lightly, while he tries to be more rigorous, but he has no other worries. It follows that such people, whose reason for observing Torah and mitzvot and assuming the burden of the kingdom of heaven is to be rewarded in this world and in the next world, do not need the Creator to have the strength to engage in Torah and mitzvot. Since to the extent of their faith in reward and punishment, the body allows them to keep each according to his degree. This is not so with people who want to do the holy work in order to bestow without any reward and want to observe Torah and mitzvot because of the greatness of the Creator, and it is a great privilege for them to be allowed to serve the King. As it is written in the above-mentioned Holy Zohar, fear, which is the first, is that one should fear one's master, because he is great and ruling, the essence and the root. He interprets there in the Sulam, in the commentary, that there are three manners of fear of the Creator. 1. Fear of punishments in this world. 2. Fearing punishments of hell as well. Those two are not real fear, because he is not keeping the fear because of the commandment of the Creator, but for his own sake. It follows that his personal benefit is the root, and fear is the branch, and results from his own benefit. But fear, that is the essence, is that he will fear the Creator because he is great and rules over everything. It follows that the greatness of the Creator is the reason that compels him to observe Torah and mitzvot. This is regarded as his desire being only to bestow upon the Creator, called bestowing contentment upon his Maker, and not for his own benefit.
Because he is great and ruling, because he is great, we think that this is also some kind of a corporeal motivation based on a profit. If he's great, then I'm afraid of him because he's great. But no, here Kabbalists simply cannot quite explain it to us, because it is possible to explain only to a person who has already several elements, and you, with these elements you can explain to him what is the connection, why this one is more than the other or less than the other. But because we don't yet have this awareness of this element called to bestow, it's hard for us to explain what is this, what is the matter here with the third kind, who is working because of the greatness of the Creator. Because when we hear greatness, it's with respect to my vessels of reception. If he's great, then I surrender, I'm afraid, it's worth for me this way, that way, to be related to a great one, etc. But the third kind, it's not this way. the second kind does it this way. But the third kind, which is because of the greatness of the Creator, that they constantly want that the feeling of the greatness of the Creator will develop in them, so that it will help them, enable them to be above the vessels of reception. Therefore, they'll be able to work only to bestow. Hence, they need the greatness of the Creator. Not in order to be related to a great one and profit because you belong to a great one, so you can gain something into the will to receive. Rather, that will enable him, the association with the great one, knowing the greatness of the Creator, will enable him to be above it, to flow in like in the second level, second floor, above his ego. This is what he's expecting to have.
Here begins the exile, meaning that he is not permitted to aim his work to be in order not to receive reward, since it is against nature. And although one can force oneself, although the body disagrees, just as one can practice abstention, although it is against nature. But this pertains to actions. That is, to do things against the body's will, he can go above reason, called against the body's will.
When does the exile start? From the feeling of a man that he does want to have the greatness of the Creator, so that he'll have the possibility to perform actions without any self-interest. This is actually the beginning of the exile, when he wants to do it and realizes that it's not within his hand, and he doesn't know how to attain it, how to achieve it. He feels a tendency for it, to know a little bit, he actually wants to receive the strength, the power to bestow without any profit for himself. Why? Because he received the light that reforms, that has built in him this inclination. He wants to be in it. And out of the feeling that he wants to be in it and he's not capable, he has no beginning for it. Then he starts to feel the exile. That he is in exile from that giving love of others, which is outside of him, that it can come out of him and not come back into him in any way, no shape or form. And he understands that this is freedom, to only be in that kind of inclination. And when he's not in it, he feels that this is exile. Yes.
However, he cannot go against his feeling and intellect, meaning to say that he feels otherwise than he does. For example, if a person is cold or hot, he cannot say that his feeling is untrue and force himself to say that he understands otherwise than what his mind does, or that he feels otherwise than what he is feeling. His only option is to say what he sees. It follows that when one wants to keep Torah and mitzvot in order to bestow upon the Creator, it is the nature of the body not to move at all, unless it sees that it will have some reward. Thus, he has no way to work for the Creator and not for his own benefit. Here begins the exile, meaning the torments, that as much as he works, he sees no progress. For example, if he is 20 years old, he can say that he has acquired possessions of 20 years of engagement in Torah and mitzvot. On the other hand, he can say that he has been keeping Torah and mitzvot for 20 years, but has not achieved the ability to do anything in order to bestow. Rather, everything is built on the basis of self-love. it follows that all the torments and pains he suffers are because he cannot work for the Creator. He wants to work in order to bestow, but the body is enslaved to the klipot and does not let him have this aim. At that time, he cries out to the Creator to help him, because he sees that he is in exile among the klipot. They govern him, and he sees no way that he will be able to emerge from their control. It follows that at that time his prayer is regarded as a real prayer, because he cannot come out from this exile, as it is written, "And he brought Israel out from their midst, for his mercy is forever." Since this is against nature, only the Creator can deliver Israel from this exile. But since it is known that there is no light without a kli, meaning that there is no filling without a lack, and the lack is the kli that receives the filling, for this reason, before one enters exile, meaning if he does not see that he cannot deliver himself from the exile by himself, it cannot be said that he should be brought out. This is so because although he cries, "Get me out of the state I am in," it is not a real prayer, because how does he know that he cannot come out by himself? Rather, this can be said precisely when he feels the exile, meaning that he will pray from the bottom of the heart. There are two conditions for praying from the bottom of the heart.
But here also, from where do we know that we've reached that or we haven't reached that? A state where we're certain already that we will never be able to reach in order to bestow, to get the greatest of the Creator in such a way that it will lift us above our ego and give us the possibility to bestow and to flow within bestow. And that in it there will be no self-interest, not wanting to receive anything. Here too we have to understand that upon all the efforts that we have to perform, it's not just efforts, rather these are actions upon which comes the light that reforms. And it builds in us that preparation, that we actually do come to the true need to be in pure bestowal.
כי בכדי שיתפלל מעומק הלב יש כאן בית תנאים א' שהעבודה שלו תהיה.
There are two conditions for praying from the bottom of the heart. One, his work must be against nature, that is, he wants to do everything only to bestow, and he wants to exit self-love. At that time, it can be said that he has a lack.
And here there's a question. How do we actualize this in a group, in a workshop, in the connection between us? Again, that his work will be against nature, meaning that he wants to do everything only to bestow and wants to exit self-love. At that time, it can be said that he has a lack. So to reach a state where I do everything in order to bestow within the group, and in which actions exactly do I do it, so that I can reach the determination of this state, that I am not able to reach that form of bestowal by myself, and that this would be my lack. Please, let's do it. Let's talk about it between us. How do we reach that?
Starting with mutual efforts, the work is very serious, consistent, working according to the rules, according to the law, and we have to discover it. In order to discover it, we have to carry it out.
Rav, I'm in a group, I'm in connection throughout the study, throughout the workshop, I want to connect, I'm making all the efforts, checking, criticizing towards my connection, my desire to connect, and I see that I'm not capable of it. And out of this, the true deficiency is depicted in me. So how do we reach that? Please, carry on.
The importance of the goal. The moment society shows me the way and what the importance is, what it's important, I try to cleave onto them. I see how opposite I am.
And this oppositeness that I'm in during the workshop is the attempt to incorporate in the words of the friend and to get from him the connection, the common connected answer that we have, all have to reach, and to find that, in fact, I'm in my own thoughts and I'm crying out because I don't want to be in myself, I want to be in the friends.
I think that we're coming to it by the preparation. It's so important, this preparation. From the moment I open my eyes till I get to the lesson, to see the friends before my eyes, to understand that there, I'm about to connect to these deficiencies, and then the criticism comes when resistance starts coming. It can be different kinds of resistance, but that's what I have to work with, the resistance for the friends.
I put myself in a workshop simply throughout the entire day. I have to hear about it, even though I don't feel like it, to recognize when I have an internal, a natural inclination for it, and when am I objecting to reach a state where I'm saturated with the greatness of the goal. But in myself, I see that I have no natural inclination for it, so I see that it's all what the society is building in me, the light is building in me, and all that's left for me is to ask.
Yeah, exactly. It's always around my desire to go inside to the heart of the group, to dissolve in there. That's where all the discernments come from. And these discernments become more and more both difficult, bitter, sweet. Everything becomes very sharp. The more I ask to go into this thing, and bit by bit, out of the falls, the difficulties, and the bitterness, a great deficiency comes, because there's faith in the sages, and we understand that there is such a quality, the quality of a stone, and we're trying to act it out in the society with the friends. Everything we know, Rav gives us, but we're incapable. We are thrown out again. We fall, and the friends catch you, and they return you. In the end, you start groaning, and from that you succeed.
Yes, we learn that the way to reach the revelation of the Creator, to reach bestowal, the quality of bestowal, is through the effort to connect. And we make all kinds of tactics and all kinds of different ways to try and reach that. And every time that we fail, we don't despair. We try a different way. And it turns out that from all of these tactics, we go through these states quicker and quicker. So we go through many states, relative to any other place where people are not engaging in it, in this desire. And yet we have this stony heart. So, and it tells you that there has to be another way. But in the end, we will reach it quicker because we go through more and more states.
Okay, we're basically within a laboratory. We're in the right conditions in the workshop in order to reach the realization, the right kind of connection. However, we are the will to receive. So as long as we're trying to connect with our desire, we see it's impossible. And here starts working the work above reason to be able to nullify my own desire and to include myself in the desire of the friends inside this laboratory in the workshop. Continuing to read. The second condition is he begins to exit self-love by himself and exerts in it, but cannot move an inch from his state. At that time, he becomes needy of the Creator's help, and his prayer is real because he sees that he cannot do anything by himself. Then, when he cries out to the Creator to help him, he knows this from the work, as it is written, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the work. This means that by working and wanting to achieve the degree of being able to bestow upon the Creator, they saw that they could not emerge from their nature. So they prayed from the bottom of their heart.
We have to realize that we are העליון, כוח עליון, בשדה של האור, כמו שדה מגנטי.
It's like a magnetic field, let's say. And when we move, when we make actions with our body or with our desire, when we act, we move within this light, within this field. By that, we awaken within us an induction. An induction. Where this field is working on us as we move in it from one place to another, from one state to another, and then changes occur in us. This is called the light that reforms, reforming a person. And so of our actions, as much as these are actions that are more and more directed at the goal, as much as we try to be closer to the true state, even though we cannot be in it, in a state of bestowal. However, we try. By self-annulment, as Rabash writes, each one annulling himself and connecting with the others and incorporating in them. And making everyone to be one and making himself to be zero, etc., building the center of the group and wanting to truly be immersed in them, in his great friends, then accordingly we're inviting a great influence of the light until we reach the true lack. That lack is called a prayer. A prayer from the bottom of the heart. The bottom, or the full depth of the heart, is the center of our connection, where we're capable, for the time being, between us, to establish. And to that state, to that prayer, we have to reach. This is called, and the people of Israel cried, or sighed from the work. This is the work of Egypt. To reach from the from the state where they would do work for ourselves, studying the wisdom of Kabbalah and operating, acting with the intention to receive for ourselves all kinds of different forms of reward. We want to shift to a state where the force of bestowal will be in us, the upper force, and we will simply be able to flow with it and perform actions without any direction back towards ourselves. Rather, we will enjoy the fact that we're doing it from us and outwards to everyone and through them to the Creator. So the preparation for this whole work is called the exile of Egypt, where we come to a state that we're able to get that first force that brings us out of, in order to receive to, in order to bestow. Then it is called the exodus from Egypt, or a birth. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, it is called the birth of the soul, because the will to receive with the intention to bestow is called a soul. Neshama.
We're continuing to read. By this we will understand what we asked about the verse, and their cry because of the work went up to God. This means that the worst torments over which was all their crying out was only over the work and not over other things. Rather, it means that they were crying out over their situation, that they could not emerge from self-love and work for the Creator. This was their exile, which tormented them, that they saw that they were under their control. It follows that in the exile in Egypt, they obtained kelim, vessels, meaning a desire that the Creator will help them emerge from the exile. As we said above, that there is no light without a kli. For only when we pray a real prayer, when one sees that he cannot be saved and only the Creator can help him, this is considered a real prayer.
So, what is a real prayer and how do we come to it? Please, let's continue the workshop.
This is the blessed state. In order to reach such a state, we need to simply go through all these states together. The moment we're able, well, the main thing here is the efforts for connection. The more we labor to connect will bring ourselves closer to this state.
Yes, and also there we will advance and realize that we still don't have it. I mean, every time we discover another part and another part, we as if are peeling it off because we're advancing in the will to bestow, and we discover how much the will to receive is actually bigger and stronger, and this cry keeps increasing.
And the real prayer is to see that what the group lacks in order to attain the whole connection is my exertion and my real exertion, and to see that I'm incapable, and from that you reach the right prayer that the Creator will bring connection to the group, the ability to be in true concern for the friends, connection for them, so that the group will succeed and the mutual activity will prevail.
A true prayer is when a person reaches despair out of his own forces, when he realizes he tried everything and he was given all the different thoughts that he's able to do something by his own forces, and he starts to understand that he has friends that only with their help they can bring him out of the situation that he's in. The result is that in this workshop, for example, we'll answer a question or raise a common prayer. When we stop each one giving an independent answer, and we'll succeed in solving this question or awakening the prayer in the heart of all of us as one thing. That's the only way to get to it.
Yes, the real prayer is to constantly, again, it's the attempts to reach the heart of the group and to see how difficult it is, but the heart of the group has everything. Because we see their friends as giants, greats, great ones, that's what the desire directs itself on. And even when you don't succeed, you see that this is the whole point, this is the whole matter. And only together can we ask for it, only from the center.
Yes, a true pair, well, we're stubborn people. On the one hand, it's good, that's what's holding us and allowing us to continue in the path. On the other hand, we're stubborn, so we believe that by our own forces we can actually solve this problem and reach bestowal. Out of these efforts, meaning only through these efforts of connection in the group, the workshop, all that we do, only then we will reach this breaking. A true prayer is like when you have this clack, something breaks, and suddenly it will touch you deeply in the heart, and you'll say, nothing helps. Reach this kind of mental fatigue, but at the same time with happiness.
Rav, what does exile mean? What does redemption mean? And what is the transition between the two called Pesach? So, exile, redemption, and Passover in between. What are they? Give some definition of exile, of redemption, Galut and Geulah, and transition.
Well, exile, you might say that in the state, that's the state we're in right now, that we constantly want to connect, but we don't succeed. We're in the right environment, we're in the right situation, at least us, and we try to connect, but we don't succeed. So how do we reach redemption? We add the champion of the world, in Hebrew, the letter Aleph, the creator. Once we make this connection out of the having the creator between us and realizing that without him we have no chance to connect, by that we build a spiritual degree which is higher, where the creator, the light of reforms, helps us to connect.
Yes, the recognition of our true state, that we are in the intention in order to receive, this is the peak of the exile. From this place, the gap, we discover we can go through Pesach, through Passover to redemption, a state where we can generate a true prayer.
Yes, so exile is the hatred, and redemption is love. And Pesach, Passover, skipping, it is the state that where we always shift from hatred to love. Love covers all crimes. Each time we discover it more and more.
Exile is when a person is in the group and he identifies himself to be immersed within his own self-love. Redemption is when he is incorporated in the group and he is with it as one man and one heart in mutual bestowal within the group and regarding the rest of the groups. And Pesach is when he identifies that the Creator is the one shifting him from the corrupt to the corrected state.
Yes, when he truly recognizes it, when, as the friend said, that he recognizes Pesach, this Pesach inside of himself, that is shifting from the earlier situation when he was immersed in himself, and he enters and is incorporated in the friends, and he finds the Creator there. And these qualities, these definitions that you discover in yourself and you actually build in yourself through the friends within the group, something amazing.
You find the two points of nature, the nature you've received and the nature you're aspiring for, the nature which is our goal. In the exile, you see who you truly are, which is also a revelation. And in redemption, you understand what you should do in order to come out of this nature to the upper one.
Exile is when you realize that between the friends there is this huge thing called the Creator, but you're impressed to a little extent. Between the friends, there is the possibility to capture, to see this thing called the Creator. And gradually you realize that in order to reach it, in order to reach the redemption, the champion of the world, this Creator, you have to go into Egypt and build special kelim for that, because you don't have this kelim. But you have to go down to Egypt. And it's also between the friends to discover your utter lowness, your entire will to receive, that you really have to come to hate and cry out over. And from that, again, with the help of the friends, you reach redemption, the champion of the world.
Rav, why is Pesach, Passover, called the beginning of all things, the birth? Today you have become a people. This month is the first of the months, the head of the months, and so forth. And throughout the entire ladder of corrections that we should perform over our will to receive in order to reach the complete correction in the ladder of degrees, we should constantly feel ourselves as if we're coming out of Egypt in each and every step on the ladder. Why? What's so special about this holiday? What's so special about this time called the Pesach, Passover?
Just like the friends said here, when was Abraham pleased with the promise or the guarantee of the Creator? When he promised him that they will spend 400 years in Egypt. And once he realized that they will have sufficient kelim in order to want to leave Egypt and come to Israel, to go out to the desert. So they will have enough kelim that they will take from Egypt. They will go out with many vessels from Egypt. Meaning, in order to reach the birth, we need the sufficient lack, sufficient kelim.
Yes, we are reborn. We filled the right place, the kli to which we can draw the light. It's common and big enough so that the light can come and help us. And we're starting a new process that we are along with the Creator. We're coming out of our will to receive, egoistic desire we were immersed in. And with the help of the light, we are incorporated together and we rise to a new spiritual degree. And every time we have 125 such degrees, we go through this process time and again, because the will to receive never disappears, at least until the final correction.
All of these discernments are in our common work. Actually, this state of Passover, Pesach, represents the peak of the intention to receive and coming out of it. So it's the peak of our effort.
Yes, and this is some kind of, it's a gift, this Pesach we've received. It's a critical point where a person, through the environment, through the importance of a goal, can always place himself in the right direction. And suddenly here, there's some intensity that truly to maintain it each and every moment and to be in Pesach, to maintain this examination.
Rav, so what is a real prayer over a real deficiency by which we run away from Egypt, come out of Egypt? From darkness to light. We take this step, this skip. What is the real prayer? What kind of prayer? And over which deficiency? Why is it called a real prayer over a real deficiency? Please.
The real deficiency is the deficiency for the quality of bestowal within us, within the individual and within the connection between the friends. And the real prayer is the cry out, the demand for the Creator to beget this quality in us, the quality that doesn't exist naturally.
Yes, if we talked about it, that Passover is actually the birth into the spiritual life, the new life the person discovers in his new kelim. Then here we're talking about the labor pains. This true deficiency is truly like labor pains in this world. Such a yearning, a great yearning with a great pain towards something else. Lack of fulfillment in all that I've been familiar with until now. Lack of taste. These are the labor pains that lead us to the true lack.
The true lack to come out of myself, to accept something that's impossible. It's as if I'm cutting it from my own flesh. That's why I need the environment and the light that will only develop the deficiency in me for them to do it.
The true deficiency is to change all of my mental paradigm, my vessels, the way I think, to be in equivalence of form with this upper force, who is completely different from the way that I can understand it. But out of the study, out of the effort to try and mingle with the friends, there is this glimpse, this touch of that keeps on developing and
moving on